Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Holiday magic is in the air, and DSW's got all the shoes to make your season extra merry. Believe, you've got parties to attend and lists to check twice, so DSW is taking care of the details, like gifts to make their eyes all aglow, styles that bring joy to your world, brands everyone wants, like UGG, Nike, Birkenstock, and more, and deals to make your budget bright. Find the perfect shoes for you and yours at a DSW store near you or DSW.com.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
And welcome, everybody, to today's exciting episode.
I want to get down on my knees and start pleasing Jesus.
It works both ways.
It does.
I was talking about praying, obviously.
Obviously, yeah.
Yeah. This is all good? This is recording?
This is good. This is recording.
Okay.
Unfortunately, yeah, people are going to hear that.
I don't know. It seemed like my headphones were a bit funny there, but no, it's all good.
Well, you said you'd turn them down this week because you got a bit of tinnitus.
Yeah, but I might turn them up a little bit more.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Oh, there, yeah. Yeah, that's better. Okay. Yeah, that's the one.
That's all right. I'm just messing with you.
Testing, testing. We're there.
Okay, we're there. Nothing like getting these things prepared beforehand, is there?
No, but that's what we like. It's raw and it's unfiltered, uncensored.
Unrehearsed.
Unscripted.
It's just us.
Yeah.
It's the way we roll, baby.
Yes. We're here. We're ready. I'm pumped. You know, this one that we're doing today has been requested.
Oh, has it?
By me.
By you. Oh, okay. Fair enough.
I've requested it myself.
Polar Bear might have made a mention of it.
No, I've been wanting to do this one for a while. Now,
okay.
I will just say, we are not a true crime podcast. We've said... We want to be that kind of podcast that does everything. Weird, wonderful, aliens, ghosts, paranormal.
As long as it's got some kind of mystery to it, I guess. That's the crux of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what we like.
So actual, just normal true crime with like homicides and murder and stuff. Great podcast.
Brilliant.
We're
we're not covering Ted Bundy anytime soon.
But there are... The odd bit of true crime stories that do have lots of mystery, conspiracy, coincidences. This is a good one, man.
Okay.
This is a real good one. So we're doing the story of Elisa Lam, but also the Cecil Hotel.
Oh.
Yeah.
I've walked past that place.
Have you?
No.
It's in LA.
Yeah, I know. No, they're back in my hometown. If I was to walk from my house into town, we used to walk past a place called the Cecil Guest House.
Oh, yeah, close.
Similar. No cigar.
Yeah.
But, so, you know, it could be just as mysterious.
Oh, this is very mysterious. I don't know how mysterious the one is in Wales. The Cecil Hotel.
Cecil Guest House. Well, I never heard of any controversy going on there, so I wouldn't imagine it's particularly...
Could it be haunted?
It could be.
Is it like an old guest house?
Not particularly.
Let's just pretend all Cecil houses are
1970s,
haunted.
Something like that.
Oh, could be.
Could be both. Could be haunted.
Well, we're going to go on a journey today.
A journey to Los Angeles.
Yes, we are. We are going to... I mean, I've got a lot of research here. But yeah, it's so juicy. It's so good. Okay.
Okay, cool. Well, you've been excited about this one all day.
Yes, and I'm going to...
Literally bouncing off the walls today.
Yeah, man. I'm pumped for it. And we're going to chuck out a disclaimer right from the start because I tend to forget halfway through. There Ooh, is mention...
It's got to be good if there's a disclaimer.
Yes. There is mentions of dead bodies. There's mentions of serial killers, suicide, death. Yeah.
All the juicy stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. Drugs, yeah.
So, oh, let's get into it then, man.
Disclaimer, you've heard it here.
You have been warned.
You have been warned.
No young children, please.
Yes. So the Cecil Hotel is in Los Angeles, California. It opened on December 20th, 1924, as a luxury but affordable hotel.
Ooh.
In 2011, the hotel was renamed the Stay on Main. The 14-floor hotel has 700 guest rooms, 301 special rooms, and a checkered history with many suicides and accidental deaths.
By special rooms, I assume you're meaning like luxury suites rather yes. than like disabled access.
Luxury suites. I didn't even write that down, I just remembered it.
Okay.
But then I also couldn't remember what kind of room, so I said special room. Yeah. The hotel began to decline and lose money due to the area being nearby to Skid Row, and as many as 10,000 homeless people lived within a 4-mile radius.
Wow.
Yeah, it was also affected by the Great Depression in the 1930s, but it thrived in the 1940s.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
In February 2017, the hotel was deemed a historic cultural monument due to its historic significance of the architect's body of work.
It's a landmark.
Yeah. Yeah,
Fair
yeah.
play.
The hotel has... Obviously, this isn't the actual main bit of the podcast. As always, you know, I like to give a little bit of history.
Yeah, so, yeah.
The reputation for violence, suicide and murder for the hotel...
It's already sounding like the hotel out of The Shining.
Ah, The Shining. For legal reasons.
The Shining.
Don't
sue us, Stephen King.
Do you know what's funny? At the end of the paragraph of the research, the last thing it said was, if you think the hotel from The Shining was bad, the Cecil Hotel is worse.
Oh, fair.
So, in 1931, so as far as I could see, this was the first thing that happened. So in 1931, a guest called W.K. Norton died in his room after taking poison capsules. Suicide.
Was he famous or just...
No, just a random dude.
Only famous because he died there.
He was barely there a day.
Well,
from what I read.
He was on a mission then, wasn't he?
Yeah. So throughout the 1940s and 50s, more suicides at the Cecil Hotel occurred. In 2008, two longtime residents referred to the hotel as the Suicide Hotel, and it actually became a popular nickname for the hotel for many years to come.
I guess people literally used to book in there so that they could go and commit suicide by the end of it.
It got that way, yeah. There was a lot of suicide there. And when you see pictures of it online, it does look a little dingy and, you know, like a horror film kind of hotel. Cecil became a hotspot for adulterous couples, drug activity, and a common ground for prostitutes.
Fair enough.
We're getting all the positive stuff in, obviously.
And we're not even, what, have we left the 50s yet? Or?
Oh, yeah, it's all over the place. I'm just kind of giving history. It's just, yeah, from 1924 onwards, the Cecil Hotel has just had a roller coaster of ups and downs. And
I would imagine suicides. Probably the 60s and 70s, it was like a drug haven and, you know, for... For them types.
Yeah. And, yeah, especially in the 80s.
Yeah.
So 1964, a telephone operator, and her nickname was Pigeon Goldie. So
that's a cool name.
Yeah. People knew her as Pigeon Goldie Osgood. Who was a long-term resident at the hotel, was found dead in her room. She had been raped, stabbed, beaten, and her room was ransacked. Her murder remains unsolved to this day.
Oh.
And that was in 1964. In the 1980s, Cecil was the residence of serial killer Richard Ramirez, also known as the Night Stalker.
Night Stalker, yeah, I know him, yeah. Well, I don't know him, but I know who you mean.
Oh, I used to work there.
Yeah, stand-up guy until he started killing everybody.
Do you know, his mugshot is actually quite terrifying.
It is, yeah. Yeah, but he was he actually attracted quite a lot of attention from the ladies at the time, didn't
he?
I don't know why.
Even after the fact. He actually committed 14 murders while he was staying at the hotel.
That does not surprise
me. So he was there for a bit. Austrian serial killer. Apologies if I get the last name wrong here. Jack Unterweger.
Was he Austrian?
Yeah.
I would imagine that W is a V then. So
Unterweger.
Unterweger, yeah.
He stayed at the Cecil in 1991, and he strangled and killed at least 3 prostitutes.
Nice. What a nice guy.
So, yeah, that's just a kind of
brief... Those are the kind of people that stayed at this hotel.
Yes, just a brief history of it. Just kind of letting people know this is what happens at the hotel. Obviously, this spans from 1924... all the way to the 2000s. So you've got a fair few years, probably where nothing happened. You know, it was a hotel.
I mean, in fairness, I think probably a lot of hotels have got some stories that they don't want people to know about, haven't they?
Yeah,
it's just when you get one that is starts becoming a bit infamous, all the stories come out, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. And that one definitely has a reputation.
Yeah.
So now we are going to move into the meat of the podcast.
The meat and bones.
The Elisa Lamb story.
Oh.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to butt in.
Yeah, Elisa Lamb.
But so, I think I know a bit about this story.
So she was a Canadian tourist and student of Hong Kong descent. And I'm going to just take you from the start with Elisa Lamb, rather than just going straight into the story, because she was a bit lost, bless her. So she is actually a very nice person and things. So I want to So I just want to give her, give a kind of bit of a background towards her. So
she is the victim in all of this, after all, isn't she?
Yeah, yeah. So in mid-2010, Lamb began a blog named Etherfields on Blogspot. Over the next 2 years, she posted pictures of models in fashionable clothing and accounts of her life, particularly her struggle with mental illness. In a January 2012 blog, Lamb admitted to having a relapse at the start of the current school term, which had forced her to drop several classes. The moon's run out of battery.
It's not plugged into a battery, it's plugged into the main USB, but it's doing something weird.
It's flashing. The audio listeners can't... It's gone.
It's gone.
It's had enough.
Let's just leave the moon off.
Yeah, so she admitted to having a relapse.
It's the dark side of the moon. Sorry, Karen.
At the start of the current school term, which had forced her to drop several classes. She stated that this made her feel directionless and lost. She titled the post, "You're Always Haunted by the Idea You're Wasting Your Life," which was a quote by novelist Chuck Palahniuk.
Palahniuk. Fair enough.
Ah, he wrote Fight Club.
Oh, right. Okay, fair enough. That's a good film.
Yeah, that's probably the most famous thing. He's probably done loads.
Probably, yeah.
After 2 years of blogging, Lam abandoned her blog for another one called Nouvelle Nouveau. This consisted of fashion photos, quotes, and a few posts of Lam's own words and thoughts. The same Palahniuk quotation was used for this different blog.
Okay.
So Lam had been diagnosed with bipolar disorder and depression. She was prescribed several medications for her mental health issues. Lam had no history of suicidal ideations or attempts. There was no mention of suicide to friends, family, or anything of that nature. She did, however, have a history of not taking her bipolar medication, and as a result, she would suffer from hallucinations that would cause her to hide under her bed. She was hospitalized at least once for one of these episodes. Lam traveled alone and visited the San Diego Zoo and posted photos of her trip on social media before arriving to Los Angeles and checking in to the Cecil Hotel. So this is where it now starts to get juicy. So Lam was initially assigned a shared room on the fifth floor. However, her roommates complained about certain odd behavior that Lam was exhibiting, and Lam was moved to a room of her own after just 2 days of having roommates.
Hang on, was she friends with these people beforehand? No. So they just randomly put people together?
Yeah, yeah.
Check into, like a hostel?
Yes, yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. Like a shared room kind of thing. So it's a bit odd. I'd not really heard of that before.
Yeah,
but
no, I don't... Yeah, I've never... Yeah, I mean, youth hostels in this country... In the UK, you do that, don't you? The cheap place to sleep for the night. So they just got a massive room with a load of bunk beds, and everybody just gets in there and gets their head down.
Yeah,
but I've never heard of an actual hotel that you'd pay in good money for to do that. So
I guess hostel is probably the best way of describing it. Yeah,
cheap accommodation.
Yeah. So some of the weird behavior or strange behavior. This is from accounts of the roommates that were staying with her, said that she would leave odd notes around the hotel room, telling them to go away, to go home, to leave. She was also locking doors and asking for passwords to be let into the room, even though they all had keys to the room, and just odd behavior.
Basically. That is a bit odd, yeah.
Yeah, so...
I mean, there's nothing wrong with locking the door, but if the people have got a key and you're still asking them for a password,
or
just leaning your foot against the wall. No, I'm not letting you in without the password.
That is basically all that means. So, yeah, poor old girl. She then got moved to her own room. I saw one report saying that she got moved to the same room as Richard Ramirez, which is 1402.
Ooh.
But... I don't know if there's any truth. No. There's no proof. I think it was just to make the story a bit juicier. Oh, but okay. I will mention that, but I couldn't find any evidence.
Oh, okay, fair enough. So, a bit of hearsay on that one.
Yeah. So Lam attended a live taping of Conan, you know, the talk show guy. Not Conan the Barbarian.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah,
of.
Yeah. I actually thought Conan the Barbarian, like a live show, as I was writing it.
I think I've heard of Conan, yeah. I'm not massively familiar with American
TV, but Ginger Talk show host. He's really good, to be fair.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of celebrities like him. He's got his own podcast now. So she attended a live taping of Conan, but was escorted off the premises by security due to disruptive behavior.
Oh, during the recording?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
As just an audience member. She wasn't on the show.
She just went to watch it, to watch a live taping, and yeah, didn't even make it to the end. She was escorted out.
Oh.
So Lam had daily contact with her parents up until the day she disappeared. They were in Canada. On January 31st, 2013, Lam was scheduled to check out of the Cecil Hotel and continue her travels to Santa Cruz. What's annoying is I... write Lam, but I keep reading that as I am.
Yeah.
So she was meant to carry on travelling and check out.
So what was her travels sort of in aid of?
It was literally just blogging.
Or,
she was just a tourist. She just wanted to blog. And she was a student, so I'm not sure what classes she was doing. I know she dropped a lot.
Was she in a gap year or something? Or?
It possibly could have been, but it just said she was a tourist and a student. So,
fair enough.
I think she was just traveling on her own and just blogging it and living life, basically.
Fair enough, yeah.
Her parents
would all love to give up responsibility and just do that. It would be lovely, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, to be that young again, because I think she was like 20, 21 at the time.
Yeah, yeah, so. She was only young. Wasn't she? Yeah.
So her parents did not hear from her and called the LA Police Department. Because, again, daily contact, all of a sudden, dead.
All of a sudden, stopped.
So 24 hours have gone by. The parents worry. They call the LA Police Department. Her family then flew straight away to LA to help with the search of her. Hotel staff always saw Lam alone. Katie Orphan, who was the manager of the last bookstore from just outside the hotel, was the allegedly the last person to see Lam alive. And on that day, she said she was lively and very friendly and was actually nice to chat to, like a really lovely person.
Yeah, she was having a good day.
And she was getting gifts to take back to her family in Canada. So police searched the hotel to the extent that they could, that they legally could. They couldn't go in every room of the hotel, but they did what they could legally. They searched Lam's room, and sniffer dogs went through the building, including the rooftops, but the dogs were unsuccessful at detecting her scent. On February 6th, a week after Lam had been last seen, the LAPD decided they needed more help, so they put flyers and her image everywhere, posted it online.
On milk cartons?
No, this was 2013.
Oh, is that not a thing in America anymore?
No, I don't. I think maybe the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
But yeah, 2013.
To be honest, it's quite a good idea.
Back in the day.
Pretty much everybody buys milk, don't they? And
yeah, back in the day it would have been good.
Yeah, but
2013, I think milkshakes are probably more popular than milk.
Well, the internet is more popular these days.
Yeah. And this actually brought a lot of public attention to the case, and it went rampant on media. I still remember when it actually happened. I was up to date with it, and
yeah,
it was,
I can remember it happening. Yeah,
yeah, it really caught the attention, and a lot of people were searching and things and looking for her. On February 13th, after another week with no sign of Lam, the LAPD released a video of the last known sighting of Lam, taken from CCTV inside one of the elevators in the Cecil Hotel. And although they posted it on February 13th, the image was January 30th, or the video was January 31st, because that was the last day that she was seen. The video is 2.5 minutes, and it shows Lam with unusual movements. She pressed every button in the elevator. She at one point left the elevator, then came back. She was extremely paranoid. She was looking around corners. She was jittery.
If I remember right, because it's a strangely disturbing couple of minutes to watch.
Very unsettling.
But there isn't anybody else actually in that footage, is it? It's literally just her. There isn't a single other person, from what I remember, enters the elevator or anything. It is literally just her, but she looks all panicked, and she's like you say, very jittery, like looking at around the corner of the elevator, like peering out of it, and looks like she's scared of something, but you never see what that something is.
She's like, at one point, she's kind of stood behind the door and hiding, and then poking her head out, and then quickly moving it. And it is actually quite unsettling, to be fair.
Like,
even doing the research, I couldn't bring myself to watch more than like 30 seconds of it, and it's only 2.5 minutes.
I'm probably going to have to find this video for the YouTube version.
It's on Wikipedia if you type in Elisa Lam.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So everyone can watch it on Wikipedia. But yeah, it's very unsettling. So the video gained worldwide interest due to Lam's strange behavior. Many people find it unsettling to watch. And on the Chinese version of YouTube, which is called Youku.
Youku?
Yeah.
Okay.
It gained 3 million views, 40,000 comments in the first 10 days.
Cool.
Yeah, Youku. It's pretty similar to YouTube. I don't know. I've never really understood, like, when you get different versions of things around the world. Because YouTube, surely that's a place for the whole world to upload their
videos.
Pretty
much, yeah.
But I know China has weird, strange laws with technology and social media and stuff. So
yeah, cause you don't have freedom of speech and stuff in China, do you? Mm. So they have to regulate everything that you can put online. So it doesn't surprise me that they've got their own. Is "ku"?
The Chinese word for tube.
I don't know. It could be.
Could
let us know if you speak Chinese.
Mandarin.
Mandarin, yeah, I guess it would be. But yeah, it doesn't surprise me that they've got their own version of it so that the government can, like, censor anything that they don't deem appropriate to be, you know, outwardly available.
And then arrest that person, throw them in prison and take their organs, allegedly.
Or just give them the social score?
Yes, yeah, they do. That's
a social score thing, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of like Black Mirror.
Yes, very much like Black Mirror. Original theories of the elevator video include someone possibly pursuing her and her running away. Under the influence of ecstasy. I've never done ecstasy, so I couldn't tell you if that's the behaviour.
I have, and...
No, I'm surprised.
I was around in the 90s, I was a teenager, and I can tell it... I mean, yes, some people get paranoid on ecstasy, but I've never experienced that level of paranoia.
You were the type to stroke the furry walls.
Ecstasy was the love drug, man. It was designed as actually a marriage counselling drug.
Yeah, originally. I remember you saying about that.
But obviously, found its way into the recreational circuit. And it was, it's the love drug. You don't really get so much paranoid with it. Other drugs can make you very paranoid, but not so much ecstasy, to be honest. So I'm debunking that one.
Okay. When her bipolar became public, the theory of another psychotic episode was most likely. So the public started obviously hearing about the bipolarness and thought, okay.
Bipolar, now that can induce, like you say, paranoia and that sort of thing, particularly with depressive types, you know. They can get emotionally uncontrollable, yeah.
Yeah.
It took a lifetime to find the person you want to marry. Finding the perfect engagement ring is a lot easier. At BlueNile.com, you can find or design the ring you've always dreamed of with help from Blue Nile's jewelry experts who are on hand 24/7 to answer questions and the ease and convenience of shopping online. For a limited time, get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more with code LISTEN at BlueNile.com. That's $50 off with code LISTEN at BlueNile.com.
Holiday magic is in the air, and DSW's got all the shoes to make your season extra merry. Believe, you've got parties to attend and lists to check twice, so DSW is taking care of the details, like gifts to make their eyes all aglow, styles that bring joy to your world, brands everyone wants, like UGG, Nike, Birkenstock, and more, and deals to make your budget bright. Find the perfect shoes for you and yours at a DSW store near you or DSW.com.
Well, this little section here, I'm just going to dive into a little bit of conspiracy just for the video, and then I've got more conspiracy later on.
Okay.
So there is a little bit of conspiracy with the video concerned. So video experts, I mean, some online video experts, I guess you could say, they have watched the video over and over again. And some say that the video appears to have been tampered with, hiding the timestamp.
Oh, okay.
Parts of the video possibly slowed down. And some of the footage is missing, where there's been seconds and things where it doesn't add up, or the movement of Elisa Lam is different to...
Okay, yeah, no, I think I've heard about this, but I'd not really seen any of it evident. Not that I've studied the video myself, but I've not really seen any evidence of it. I mean, elevator footage is not the highest quality camera footage anyway, is it?
I imagine it's just for security reasons, isn't it? I mean, online video editing experts or whatever think that there could be some tampering with the video, so it just leans into the idea that there's a conspiracy. During the search for Elisa Lam, guests began complaining about low water pressure, the water appearing to be an odd darker colour with an unusual taste.
Yellow, wasn't it?
Yellowy, browny black.
Yeah.
So, on the morning of February 19th, Santiago Lopez, the hotel maintenance worker, found Lam's naked body in one of four 1,000-gallon tanks located on the roof of the hotel. Through the open hatch, Lam was lying face up in the water. The tank was drained and cut open as the hatch was too small for equipment needed to remove Lam's body safely.
Because how long was that after she disappeared?
This is February 19th, so what, 3 weeks? So she'd January.
Pretty badly decomposing by then, so they would have. Yeah.
That's in the notes. The body was green and very decomposed.
Yeah.
Yeah, very bloated.
Yeah, so you'd need like some kind of specialist hoist to get that out in one piece. Because, body, particularly in water, that decomposing in water, they don't stay together very well.
No, no. So, yeah, that was pretty much 3 weeks she was in that water tank.
Be unrecognizable, particularly in Los Angeles, in that heat. Because this was what month was this again? Sorry,
this was February.
February. Oh, so not quite. Yeah, it's in the middle of winter, so at least it wouldn't be the height of summer. She would have just been bones.
Yeah, yeah. So at this point, they've obviously got the body, doing tests, coroners. At the time, there was no evidence of any physical trauma, sexual assault, or suicide. There was no signs of suicide.
There wouldn't be after 3 weeks.
No, we're getting to that bit. This is where it starts getting a bit like juicy with the conspiracies. So tests did show very small trace amounts of consistent prescription medication, which she was on.
Yeah, fair enough.
They also found trace amounts of ibuprofen and a very small quantity of alcohol, which was present in her system, but there was no sign of other drugs. So like you said, ecstasy is ruled out.
Yeah.
They actually said possibly that she could have been under-medicating. So she could have been taking her drugs, but not the amount that she was supposed to take, because there was consistency with her actually having trace amounts.
Fair enough. That's a good theory.
On February 21st, the Los Angeles Coroner's Office issued a finding of accidental drowning with bipolar disorder as a significant factor. So that is officially the report, accidental drowning. But they were saying, obviously, because she's got bipolar.
She shouldn't have had access to the roof, for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
She definitely shouldn't have had access to be able to climb up a water tower and get into
it. Hold it. Hold that thought, because that's the next bit. That's
right,
the...
okay.
Okay.
That's a hell of an accident.
Yeah. I was going to mention it at the end, but I feel like I want to save the juicy bit to the end. So the parents did actually have a wrongful death lawsuit. Against the hotel, and guests also went for damages because they were drinking the water.
Putrefied remains. Ugh.
They actually got thrown out of court, basically.
Brushing your teeth with that.
They got thrown out of court because they were basically saying that there was no way they could have predicted that this was going to happen. This was like a freak accident.
Fair enough.
So
yeah, it's not necessarily the hotel's fault, is it?
Yeah. So here we go. This is the conspiracy bit.
The juicy bit.
The investigation had determined how Lam had died, but there was no explanation as to how she got into the tank in the first place. Doors and stairs that access the hotel's roof are locked, with only staff having the passcodes and keys. And any attempt to force them would supposedly have triggered an alarm. So there you go, exactly what you said. The hotel's fire escape could have allowed her to bypass those security measures
and get onto the roof.
Mm-hmm. Her scent trail was lost near a window that connected to it. So after Lam's death showed that the hotel's roof was easily accessible via the fire escape and that two of the lids of the water tanks were open.
But they shouldn't have been. They should have been locked closed.
Yeah.
And there should have been either a ladder that's retractable that you can only get with some kind of winch or something like that, or a locked hatchway over the ladder, because you know the ladders on roofs, particularly on like water towers, they've got like a cage all around them, don't they, in case you fall or whatever, so you can't fall outwards. They should have some kind of grate or a doorway on the ladder to stop you from being able to go up there unless you've got the key to unlock it and, you know, you've got permission to access that water tower. Because, general members of the public don't need to be able to get up a water tower on a hotel roof.
Now, where it gets interesting as well is the maintenance worker. He, from the research
he
that I found...
It.
No, he no. didn't.
Oh, okay.
He cannot... The first statement he gave to the police, he said that the thing was locked. The door was locked. That's right. How they didn't know she was in there for 3 weeks. And then in the second statement, he says it was already open. So no, still to this day, no one actually knows whether it was closed or whether it was open or what. But either way, she shouldn't have been able to get into a tank. So apart from the question of how she got on the roof, others asked if she could have gotten into the tank by herself. So all four tanks were 4 by 8 foot. And they had cylinders propped up on concrete blocks, and they were very heavy.
Right.
There was no fixed access to them, and hotel workers had to use a ladder to look at the water.
Oh, right. So there isn't one of those permanent ladders going up. You have to actually bring a ladder with you to actually get up onto the tank and open the hatch and look into it.
Yeah. Yeah, there was no fixed access to them.
Wow, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, no, that changes things. That's...
Yeah. So they were protected by heavy lids that would be difficult to replace from within. So you couldn't close it once you're inside.
I'm struggling to picture these water tanks now, because now when I think of American hotel water tanks, I think of the ones with the cone-shaped
tops. Yeah, that is
tops.
What they are,
that's it,
much.
Is it?
Yeah, but these were more like cylinders, I guess. But yeah, it's pretty much that. The hotel employee who found the body said that the lid was open at the time, removing the issue of how she could have closed the lid from inside. Police dogs that searched through the hotel for Lam, even on the roof shortly after her disappearance was noted, did not find any trace of her.
Surely they would have noticed a water tank with an open lid.
Exactly. This adds to the conspiracy.
You'd have thought even if she went out through the window onto the fire escape and gained access to the roof that way, the dogs would have picked up on the scent once they were on the roof.
Yeah, this is all the stuff that is like, this is why it's still 50-50 for a lot of people, where they think, some people think it's very cut and dry, like, yeah, no, it was accidental drowning, accidentally like killed herself. But then other people think that maybe there was someone involved, maybe she was killed. Like, remember at the start I mentioned, like, the hotel was known for, like, reputation, serial killers, violence. There was a lot of homeless people in the area. I'm not saying all homeless people are killers, but there was a lot
of, hope not.
You know, Skid Row was known for criminals and things like that. So people were seeing the elevator video, thinks that she was under the influence of drugs, but the toxicology with how bad her body was decomposed and things,
couldn't be
determined. So some people think that maybe she could have been drugged that night, and they're not going to find anything 3 weeks later.
Inconclusive,
I've got myself in a muddle. The very low level of her prescription drugs in her system and the number of pills left in her prescription bottle suggested she was under medicating. I've already said that. Under medicating or had recently stopped taking her medication. Which might have led to a psychotic episode. The autopsy report and its conclusions were also questioned based on the incomplete information. For instance, it does not say what the results of the rape kit and the fingernail kit were, or even if they were processed. It also records, I can't say that word, if you'd be inclined.
Subcutaneous.
Nice. Pooling of blood in Lam's anal area.
Right, okay.
So possibly rape, who knows? One pathologist noted it could have resulted from bloating in the course of the body's decomposition.
Yeah, it could have, what they're referring, you know like how like a blood blister forms?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it's referring to, is like blood clots appearing in like the muscle tissue and, you know, between the muscle and the skin
around
a rectal area, which could be consistent with bruising had she bumped a rear end well, falling in, perhaps, you know, and like that bruising might have happened over the hour if she was still, or minutes while she was treading water, if she you know, couldn't touch the bottom or something like that. That's the kind of thing that I think that they're referring to there.
So it is a possibility, but there was no conclusive.
No, you wouldn't be able to tell.
This is interesting. After her death, her Tumblr blog was updated, presumably through Tumblr's Q option that allows posts to automatically publish themselves when the user is away.
Scheduling, yeah.
Yeah, so, but her phone was not found either with her body or in her hotel room.
Oh, right.
Whether the continued updates to her blog were facilitated by the theft of her phone, the work of a hacker, or through the queue is not known. So they don't know how her Tumblr was continuously working after her death. This is very odd. So there was a horror film, a Japanese horror film from 2002 called Dark Water. That is exactly the same as what happened to Elisa Lam 10 years later.
Oh.
So the story is exactly the same. What I said, though, the hotel guests tasting the water, and it's pretty much the same. Like, it's pretty eerie that this film was made in 2002 and this happened in 2013.
That is nuts. Okay, fair play. Wow.
Now, I'm going to come back to that one because I find that that's the crazy part. So the last place where anyone saw Lam alive was the bookstore that I mentioned. So if you typed in the postal code and the registration information, which is V5G4S2, it actually comes up to Google Maps and it is now Elisa Lam's burial spot. So a bit of a weird coincidence there. It's the Memorial Park in Canada. So, like the postal coordinates and things for this bookstore, the last place you were seen is
the same as the burial plot.
Yeah, where her body is now.
Oh.
Pretty weird coincidence.
That is a weird coincidence. Yeah.
Now, this is the one. Okay. Right? Now.
This is the clincher, is it?
It's just a massive coincidence, or is it?
All right.
Now, after Lam died, a tuberculosis outbreak plagued Los Angeles, especially among the homeless community in Skid Row surrounding Cecil Hotel. The test for the tuberculosis was literally her name backwards, Lam Elisa. The test is called a Lam Elisa for testing tuberculosis. That is bizarre, mate.
Yeah.
I got goosebumps saying that. That is weird. So they discovered that, obviously, she was a student from the University of British Columbia, which was where the Tuberculosis Research Center is.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a massive coincidence.
It is just a coincidence, but that's... What are the chances of that?
That is...
It breaks it down there with, like, the reason it's called Lam is enzyme-linked... fancy science words.
Right, okay.
Insert fancies. But it does actually spell out like Lam Elisa. And it's just so bizarre to me.
That is nuts.
But that's the biggest coincidence. And then that's all I've got on the like conspiracy side of things. But I just want to mention, now that we're in the year 2024, the elevator footage of Elisa Lam in the elevator has actually gone on to inspire so many horror films. And I didn't realize that wasn't really done in horror films. That whole angle of like filming from like the CCTV of an elevator or just generally using an elevator as an area for a horror film wasn't really done until this case. So people found the video so unsettling that for years, I think the last one was made in 2018, a lot of, especially Asian, with the Asian horror films, because they're really good at it. They actually use that video as inspiration. And they've made movies, horror games, stories, books, all sorts. And some of it has been distasteful. Pretty much mimicking the video. But some people have done it and also actually like credited and sent like some royalties and money to her parents and family, which I think is a nice thing
to do. Yeah.
So it's almost like carrying on her legacy and kind of showing that she was taken too soon. And although this horrendous thing happened and it's a massive mystery and no one really knows what happened, it's still kind of nice to kind of finish on a positive and say that she has got a bit of a legacy. As horrible as what happened,
yeah,
it's nice that her family are still kind of getting some peace
and
from it.
She will be forever remembered by millions of people.
Yes, yeah, definitely. So that's all I've got on Cecil Hotel and the Elisa Lam case.
Well, that's good. I'm not sure how to rate it, to be perfectly honest.
I know what you mean. Because it's true life. It did actually happen.
Yeah.
So it's like, you can't just rate it on how much you like the mystery. Yeah.
The mystery. I'll give that a good 8.5.
What do you actually think of that? Do you think it is just accidental drowning and she had an episode and unfortunately it was an accident? Or do you think that maybe there is something to the conspiracy of, like, maybe there was someone else involved? Or
I don't know. I'm not convinced that there was somebody directly involved, but I think with her bipolar, maybe, you know, some kind of schizophrenia or something like that, a person could have caused her to have like some kind of episode,
yeah,
you know, psychotic or otherwise, and made her imagine that, you know, the paranoia and that had gotten to her, possibly because of the under-medicating or, you know, the hallucinations, something like that. How the hell she ended up in that water tank, I'm at a loss.
Yeah.
She should not be able to get in there on her own.
Yeah. There was also other theories of she could have possibly gone out that night to enjoy herself, the last night in the Cecil Hotel or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
She met someone, possibly took drugs, possibly didn't, and her and that person went up to the roof to smoke cigarettes or whatever, and, you know, she was killed and put in the water tank.
Yeah.
Because there was the fire escape on the side of the hotel or whatever.
Yeah.
You can just go up to the rooftops. So it's not far-fetched to think that possibly she could have met someone, but there's just not any evidence of anyone else being there. But it's still a real mystery how she did end up in there. With the heavy lids and things.
I'd give it an 8.5 on the mystery score.
Yeah. Yeah.
The mystery machine.
I'm with you. I'm going to give it I'll give it an 8.2, I think.
8.2.
I do like the story and everything, but I do think it is just a psychotic episode and, unfortunately, accidental drowning.
Yeah.
It's a very sad story, but it's the little things in there, like the tuberculosis test, is her name.
That is weird.
How do you explain that? That is just one massive coincidence. It's just odd. And from other reports as well, it hasn't been confirmed, but it is said that Dark Water, the horror film, was her favourite movie. So could she have replicated that in a psychotic episode?
In a suicide attempt or something.
How did she know the tanks were there? Had she been up to the roof previously? Who knows?
Who knows?
It is just a mystery.
It's a massive mystery.
It's fascinating.
Yeah,
there is also a documentary on a popular
streaming site.
Yeah, maybe FlixNet. I'm not sure. But there is a really interesting documentary.
Flix.net.
Yeah. And there is some other key information, little bits here and there that I've probably missed or not mentioned. But yeah, it's a pretty interesting case. Check it out.
Yeah, fair play. Yeah. So that would give us an 8.35 average.
Yes.
That's fairly reasonable.
But yeah, rest in peace, Elisa Lam.
Rest in peace, yeah. And yeah, condolences to the family.
Mm.
But that is, we're not turning into a true crime podcast.
We will
be back next week with another mystery.
Mm.
I've got a good one for you.
Yes, I like it.
Hopefully a little bit more paranormal. Fingers crossed.
I would also, though, I would like to know, with the element of a little bit true crime, like we say, we're not a true crime podcast. We don't want to be a true crime podcast.
No, there's too many of them already.
Exactly, yes. That's the main reason we don't want to be true crime.
There's too many paranormal ones, but we're a good one.
But I'd like to know if people actually enjoyed this little bit of true crime, or if people are thinking, no, it's just like other podcasts, less of the true crime. I kind of wanted to do today as like a little bit of an experiment, just to see how people engage with a bit of true crime.
See, I enjoyed it. I don't want to make too many jokes.
That's the trouble, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to try and bring comedy too much into it when it's such a tragedy and, you know, real life people were involved in it and stuff, like, you know.
I mean, now we could make jokes because we've been respectful of the story. Like, how crazy is Yuku? What are they thinking? What's that all about?
Oh, Yuku.com. Look us up. Sorry. I knew I was going to do it at some point.
I mean, we do other accents. Yeah. I did Welsh at the start.
Yeah.
Why can't we do
accents? We can do accents.
I've never found accents offensive.
They're not
I've
offensive.
Never found them offensive, but there's keyboard Even, warriors out
like,
there.
Scottish people said that we were too terrible at them to be offensive.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I suppose we need an Asian friend to sit in here to say it's okay. I don't know. It's just, it's such a weird thing.
We'll just do it and you know, repercussions be what they are.
See what happens. Yes,
Yuku.com can sue us if they want to, but they probably won't.
No, I'd never heard of Yuku up until that
That's
story.
Because you don't coo.
No, I don't coo. Neither do you.
No,
you don't coo.
Definitely don't coo.
Me coo, you coo.
Yeah.
I don't want to do the accent. I'm not going to risk it.
Anyway, that's enough for now. Until next time, I've been Pirate.
I'm Josh.
And this has been Paranormality UK. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta. Cuckoo.
Yuku.
Yuku. Miku.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift-giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
What makes a great pair of glasses? At Warby Parker, it's all the invisible extras without the extra cost. Their designer quality frames start at $95, including prescription lenses, plus scratch-resistant, smudge-resistant, and anti-reflective coatings, and UV protection, and free adjustments for life. To find your next pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to find the Warby Parker store nearest you, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
Hey, guys. Have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.